It's so good to see so many of you this evening and some new faces. You might be opening your Bibles tonight to the book of Colossians, and we spend just a moment in chapter 3 of Colossians. We'll begin with verse number 12 together. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 12. Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you are called in one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. So often those of us who preach spend a good amount of time talking about things that we say, especially things that we should not be saying, because the Bible talks about how we should be careful what comes out of our mouth, through our lips, what we speak. The Bible tells us that no corrupt communication should possibly proceed from our mouths, but what is good to the use of edifying in Ephesians chapter 4. In James 3, James says this subject is so important, the tongue is so very dangerous, that it's sometimes like a fire set on fire of hell, and great damage can be done. That said, though, we may forget that a great deal of good can be done with the same tongue. And I'd like to spend just a bit of time this evening talking about one or two things we can do with our speech, which we should not rein in and hold back, but some things we should actually do more of and be more exuberant in the doing of them, how we should speak up. And there's more to it than just what I'm talking about this evening, but from the passage we just read, a couple of things Paul brings up in terms of how we should use our tongues, how we should speak. He talks about thankfulness more than once in our text. And in the midst of the text, he talks about singing. And that's what I'd like to emphasize as we begin this evening, the importance of singing. This isn't the only passage in the New Testament about the subject. Almost the same words are found in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 19. Other references to singing, our Lord Himself in the evening of His own trial and crucifixion sang a hymn with His disciples on the Mount of Olives. But have you ever wondered why the Bible puts such emphasis on our singing? You might think, well, I can't sing very well. And the wonderful thing is the Bible never says you have to. It never once says you have to be able to carry a tune even. But you have to, you need to, you want to sing, because the Bible encourages such. The Lord demands such. And why? If it's something that some are better than others about, some of us can't sing at all, hardly, why does the Bible command all of us to do it? And in some cases, the Bible doesn't tell directly the why of it, and the fact that God tells us to should be enough. But in this case, I think we have a good idea of why, just from looking at the rest of life. One thing that we learn early on as we grow up is the value of memory as it attaches itself to melody. I don't know about you, but when I'm putting things together in terms of alphabetical order, I don't sing in my head the ABC song. I've gotten past that. If you haven't, no problem, no judgment. But I don't think about that song now. But when I first learned my ABCs, I learned them probably the same way you did, by singing them. And why didn't your teachers just say, well, here are the letters of the alphabet, memorize those for tomorrow's test? And if that had been the case, some of us might still be stuck on trying to remember the order of those letters. But you put them in the song, and no, we're not going to sing it tonight. It may be going on right now in your mind. But that song cemented those letters in your mind to where, after time, it just became a matter of everyday living in life to recall those letters in order. And as you grew up, many of us in the church, how did you learn the books of the New Testament? Well, the same way. I never was given in a Bible class a list of the New Testament books and saying, now, you make sure by next Sunday you've got these memorized. No, the teacher said, here's a song. And it's a song of the New Testament books. And again, I don't think of the song every time I'm flipping through the New Testament pages looking for a passage. But the reason I know the New Testament books like I do is because I first learned them with the song. And God knows that's the way your brain works because God made your brain to work that way on purpose. It's amazing, some things we just can't quite remember, but you put a tune to it. And for some reason, just how the brain can't remember a word, it cannot forget a tune. And so you attach the word to the tune, and next thing you know, you've got something remembered you didn't mean to. Or in this case, something you need to. And you'll notice in the passage we just read, references made to teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. These psalms are not just from the Old Testament book of Psalms, although some are. We have in our songbook more than one song from the actual 23rd Psalm, for example. But generally, the Psalms refer to texts of Scripture. And there are many texts of Scripture we know because of the songs. I remember growing up, I learned the passage of Galatians 2 and verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, and nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ who liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I learned to sing that before I learned to memorize that. But because I learned to sing that in Bible camp, I didn't have to learn to memorize it. In fact, it's so ingrained now, I have a hard time quoting anything but the King James because that's what the song is based upon. That's the way God made our minds. And because of that, he encourages us to sing psalms, to put many of the text of Scripture to music, and then using that music to cement those values, those principles, and even the text itself into our mind's memory so that we never, ever forget. But then also, reference is made not just to psalms, but to hymns. And a hymn is a song directly to God. Now, you say, well, we're supposed to sing and admonish and teach one another in our singing, but Well, in doing that, we also direct many of our songs directly to God and thus teach one another about those aspects of God's nature we all need to keep in mind. The goodness, the greatness, the awesomeness, the love, the compassion, the mercy, the salvation that comes from God. We offer our devotion to Him in song, and those are the hymns we sing. Be with me, Lord, I cannot live without you. Well, that's a song directly addressed to the Father. And yet, as we do that, we also are teaching and admonishing one another, because this is something else God knows about your mind, because He made you this way. He realizes your emotional state is so tightly tethered to the songs you hear, and especially the songs you let into your mind. Have you ever been having a fairly pleasant day and you hear a sad song and next thing you know you're kind of in a place that you hadn't meant to be emotionally? Maybe it harkened back to a memory, or maybe it's just the kind of a song that just makes you kind of weepy. There are songs like that. And then other times, have you found yourself somewhat lethargic and looking for motivation even to put one step in front of another, and you hear a song that's lively and peppy, and next thing you know, you're ready to go? Well, again, that's the way God made you. He knows that's the way you're built, and so He realizes that one reason we sing these hymns, and also the spiritual songs we'll talk about in just a moment, is to work with our emotion, not to manipulate our emotions, but to work with our emotions. Do you notice that oftentimes on a Lord's Day morning, we'll be getting ready for the Lord's Supper, and more often than not, the song director, Don or Gil, will say, and now to prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing. Well, why? Well, because oftentimes we need to prepare our minds for what's about to come next. We're about to partake of the sacred emblems that bring our minds back all the way to Calvary and the death that Jesus died. And the song we sing before, and I realize there's nothing scriptural or unscriptural by having a song or a particular song before, but it is helpful, I believe, to sing a song like that, because it helps us to set the emotional state we long to be in, to properly discern the Lord's body as we should in the taking of the Lord's Supper. The Lord's Supper is a solemn feast. There's a time for joy and exuberance and enthusiasm and celebration, but not during the Lord's Supper. We're thankful for what our Lord did. We celebrate the fact that He paid the price of death for our sins, but the time of reflecting upon that is a somber time. And so usually the song we sing before sets the stage in mind for that which we're about to partake in. And if you don't believe that, just think what would happen if Don got up some Sunday morning just before the Lord's Supper and said, before we have the Lord's Supper, we're going to sing, I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Well, again, nothing wrong with that. We do. But it wouldn't really set the mental stage for what we're about to do, would it? It'd be somewhat out of character for the time and place of the Lord's Supper. And God knows that. And so much of our singing brings our emotional state to where it needs to be, either in appreciation for what the Lord has done, or excitement about what we need to be doing. Now, I'll say here a word of warning. In the secular world, we need to understand that there's a connection between words and songs and emotions and behavior, that sometimes we act as if there weren't a connection there. As someone wiser than I am once said, "You allow me to write the songs of a nation, I care not who writes the laws." Because the one who said that knows what we're talking about. Songs have a lot to do with framing our perspective, adjusting our attitudes, and also determining our behavior. And so we sing psalms and hymns to God and spiritual songs, which are simply songs which are Bible-based and true to the book, but also they're not direct word for word, and they're not directed to God. They're directed to one another, encouraging, exhorting, edifying, to the work. Now there's a song which is a spiritual song. Some glad morning, I'll fly away. That's a spiritual song, although the words come from an actual passage in Psalm 90. But the song is a spiritual song, encouraging us to have the hope and thrill of heaven in our hearts. And so the reason we use our speech to sing is because God made our minds purposely to attach music to memory and to emotion, to behavior, to attitude in such a way that we should be careful of what songs we actually partake in. But especially in terms of a service of the Lord's church, we should do all we can to put our hearts and minds into our singing so that we can be able to really sing with the Spirit and with the understanding, as Paul tells the Corinthians. Turn to 747, because this is exactly what this song is talking about, those things we've just been talking about in the lesson. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims. Now, you might remember in the wonderful Thanksgiving psalm, Psalm 100, the psalmist will encourage as he begins that psalm, "Make a joyful shout or noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." And those of us who sing, who are we? Well, we are God's people, pilgrims in this world traversing to the next. We are in this world, but not of this world. Our home, our citizenship, as Paul will say in Philippians 3 and 20, it's in heaven. And so since we're not home yet, since this world is not our home, we're pilgrims here. And what do while here? Well, we sing. We sing. 747. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, nor think the moments long. My faith is heavenward rising with every tuneful song. Lo, on the Mount of Blessing, the glorious mount I stand. And looking over Jordan, I see the promised land. Sing on, O blissful music, with every note you raise. My heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. Sing on, O blissful music, with every note you raise. My heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, while here on earth we stay. Let songs of home and Jesus beguile each fleeting day. Sing on the grand old story of His redeeming love. The everlasting chorus that fills the realms above. Sing on, O blissful music, with every note you raise. My heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. Sing on, O blissful music, with every note you raise. My heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. Sing on, ye joyful pilgrims, the time will not be long till in our Father's kingdom we swell a nobler song, where those we love are waiting to greet us on the shore. We'll meet beyond the river, where surges roll no more. Sing on, O blissful music, with every note you raise. My heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. Sing on, O blissful music, with every note you raise. Heart is filled with rapture, my soul is lost in praise. Now, before you close your books, and I hope you haven't, notice in that last stanza we just sang, he says, sing on, you joyful pilgrims, the time will not be long till in our Father's kingdom. Oftentimes the word kingdom, in fact most often, refers to the church. But there are times when the kingdom refers to the united kingdom of the heavenly and the earthly in the heavenly realm one day. And that's the reference here. In our Father's kingdom we swell a nobler song, where those we love are waiting to greet us on the shore. We'll meet beyond the river where surges roll no more. They're singing in the Old Testament. They're singing throughout the New Testament. And yes, you get to the last book of the New Testament and there's even singing there. Singing one day in heaven. In fact, John talks about them singing the new song, and references made to the song of Moses. Both of which have songs that have those phrases in them that we won't turn to now. But I would like to sing 859 at this time, because it suggests something that, at least to me, is very meaningful. The song is When All of God's Singers Get Home, 859. I don't know about you, but in terms of the years I've spent in the church, at various services and bodies and assemblies of Christians, I remember most and remember best and remember most fondly, I believe, the times when we have swelled together as a congregation singing various hymns. My most vivid memories of childhood in church services are of songs that were being sung. And I remember in my mind's eye sometimes those song leaders long since gone. And sometimes Benita will tell you, I'll kid around and I'll sing a song with one of the voices of those old song leaders that sometimes I thought was somewhat humorous at the time, and I suppose still so now, but I remember them. And I reflect upon those songs. And I can't help but think that what a wonderful time it'll be when all of us are together in the heavenly realm, singing with those we've loved and lost long ago, whose voices we still miss hearing now, but hopefully we'll hear again then. And it won't be a wonderful day when all of God's singers get home. 859. What a song of delight in that city so bright will be wafted neath heaven's fair dome. How the ransomed will raise heavy songs in his praise when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, when never a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. As we sing here on earth songs of sadness or mirth, 'tis a foretaste of rapture to come. But a joy can't compare with the glory up there when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, where never a sorrow will come. There'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. Having overcome sin, hallelujah, amen, will be heard in thy land o'er the foam. Every heart will be light, and each face will be bright, when all of God's singers get home. When all of God's singers get home, when never a sorrow will come, there'll be no place like home when all of God's singers get home. As you think about the ways you shouldn't use your tongue, and please don't misuse it, don't destroy others with what you say, don't diminish, demean, destroy the lives of others, don't demoralize or discourage your Christian friends and brothers by what you say, but realize also there is tremendous power in your language, in what you say, and even in the words you sing. And as we close, let me just mention two ways in which this is so very important. First has nothing to do with anybody but just you. You want to lift your own spirits, give yourself a better day than you're having already, direct your mind in a certain direction. Either sing a song or listen to a spiritual song, a hymn, or perhaps even a psalm, and use the words to do what God intended. To reframe the day, reframe your own mind, to change your perspective, to put you on new footing. But then second, don't lose sight of the power of an assembly even like this one. Oh, we haven't by any means got a full house this evening, but it doesn't take many. It really doesn't. I've often wondered about that wonderful scene that the New Testament paints of our Lord after the Last Supper, and he's going out toward the Mount of Olives, and it says there on the Mount of Olives, he sang a hymn with his disciples. Well, Judas had already left, and so there are 12 in total with Jesus now, just a dozen of them. And they didn't spend their time lamenting the fact, wish we had a better crowd. No, they sang a hymn together, and oh, what that must have been like. It doesn't take many. It takes a few with a heart to mean what's being sung. And know this, that you might think, well, I can't influence anybody. I can't encourage anybody. In singing out as best you can words which speak truth, you never know who around you might be helping, who you might be encouraging, what good you might be doing. And so don't lose sight of the power you have. Yes, yes, you. The power you have in singing to make a difference in your life and the lives of those around you. If you're with us tonight and not a Christian, don't leave the assembly in that condition. Or if as a Christian you've walked away, come back. If you need to come, come now as together we stand and sing.